Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Follow Christ. If you walk the way I'm walking and you talk the way I'm talking and you go the way I'm going, you will grow in Christ. And who does God want to act like that? Every single person that's called on his name. It's a job description for the prophet that you would not only preach and teach with authority, but you provide an example that there be integrity in your life.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Our culture today doesn't want to hear about God's design for family, identity, or any other truth that may go against a worldly opinion. But as Christians, we're not called to be silent about the truth. Instead, we're called to stand on the authority of God's Word and be examples. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues a lesson on the importance of preaching and teaching God's truth. We're in a series called The Kingdom Embassy, where we're learning how to be more effective in living out our faith as ambassadors to God's kingdom. And the place to go if you ever need to catch up on one of these programs is bravemedia.online. But right now, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy as we begin today's program with part two of a lesson titled, A Prophetic Calling.
So as Paul, speaking through the power and word of the Holy Spirit, begins to instruct Timothy, he's gone from telling him about how to live and what to mark as important to what he needs to speak, and really gives him the DNA of a prophet. And five marks of a prophet start like this. The first is that a prophet must preach and teach with authority. And here's the truth about this book. We get in arguments all the time over who said this, and you can get on Google and you can figure out who said it, and everybody says something different. But whoever said it good, so I'm taking it. You heard it from me. I'm saying it now. The word of God is like a lion. If you let him out of his cage, he can fend for himself. We don't need to apologize for the word of God. We just need to herald the word of God. When the word of God is heralded, God's people can hear and God's people can respond to whatever God says. Amen? A prophet must preach and teach with authority. Secondly, a prophet must provide an example. A prophet must provide an example. Notice what he says in verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. Means they can't just be a windbag. They can't just be a spokesman. They need to walk their talk. It means they need to be growing in the things that they're teaching. It means they need to practice what they're preaching. They need to be an example. Being an example is the Greek word tupos. It's like a mold or an image or a likeness. It's how you make a coin. You make a likeness of the coin so that every coin looks the same. Part of a job description of a prophet, preacher, pastor is that they would be an example to the flock of God. They would be an example to God's people. And how does he say it? Let no one look down on your youthfulness. Age doesn't matter. Your age is not your spiritual maturity. You can be young and spiritually mature, and you can be old and spiritually immature. Don't give people a reason to say that you're immature just because you're young. Don't make your youth be an excuse. Every scholar I've read this week says that Timothy was likely 30 to 35 years old at the time this was written. He's not a kid. Paul was saying to him, hey, just because you're talking to guys 60 and 70 years old, don't give them a reason to think that you're young. Don't act spiritually immature. You have every right to act as mature as they do. You're a man, be a man. You're a godly man, be a godly man. It means this, listen to me. If you're in middle school or high school and you're listening to me, you can walk in the fullness of Christ no matter what your age is. If you're in your 20s, you can walk to the fullness with the fullness of Christ. If you're in your 30s, you can walk to the fullness of Christ. Don't say these words, one day I will, as an excuse that you can't do it now. It's okay to yearn to grow in your spiritual maturity. That's fine. But don't use it as an excuse to stay where you're at. God wants to grow you and God wants to use you now. I mean, you see kings in the Bible like Josiah, I think became king at like age 6 or 8. I mean, God has plans for you no matter what your age. You don't need to wait until you get older to serve God. It's one of the biggest lies of the enemy. I used to believe that lie. I used to listen to a pastor like me preach, like, yeah, one day when I'm old like him, maybe I'll give my life to Christ in a more certain way. No, no, no. God wants your whole life and he wants it now. He wants you to give him your best now. All right? Be an example for him now. We say, well, how do I be an example? Well, glad you asked because he gave us some specifics. How about in your speech or in your conduct? How about in how you talk? What you talk about? What excites you? You know, the Bible says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What overflows your heart? What do you speak about? What's your topic? That if somebody gets on that topic, man, you can talk about it forever. Is it sports? Is it hunting? Is it dance? Is it your hobbies? Is it your vacations? Like, what comes out of you when people talk to you? What are you most excited about? Here's what he was telling Timothy. What should come out of your mouth is your love for the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Your speech should be seasoned with salt and grace. And yes, you're a truth teller, but you're also gentle and you're gracious because you want to see all people come to Christ. Let your speech, and when people hear you talk, hear wisdom in your life because you're living for the Lord in such a way that they're not. Let your speech represent him. How about your conduct? It means walk your talk in your conduct. It means how you live and how you spend your money and where you go and where you eat and what you do. That when people see you as an example, they would say, when I see a person speak like that and act like that, I know there's a God. That's what he was telling him. Now, in case you're sitting here today and say, well, that's for a prophet and a pastor. Thank goodness I'm not called to that. No, no, no. It's for all of us. We're all called to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when people see us and we claim that we know Christ in the way that we talk and in the way that we act, people would say, yep, I know that they're telling the truth. There's integrity there, right? And then he goes on and adds three others to that list. And he says, here's how you should also grow. You should grow in your love and your faith and your purity. What's your love? You should be growing in your love for God and your love for other people. If you love God, you will love other people. You can't love God and hate your brother. If you do that, you're a liar. Well, I just hate all those people out there in that category. I hate that political party, that whole group of people. I hate that group of people and their sexual identity. I hate that group of people over there that think like that. You can't love God and hate groups of people. You can't love God and hate people. Because Jesus Christ died for that people, that person. He loves them. Right? If you grow in your love for God, your love for people will grow. Your love for people is evident that you're growing in your love for God. So if you love God, you will love people. Even people that think differently, which means that they're wrong. And you'll love them anyway. Right? Some of you are about ready to meet up with some of them this Thursday at a meal, right? Love people. Love people. Love God and let it translate in your love for people. And how about faith? Faith is not just my faith in Christ. Faith is continuing to grow in Christ. We say around here, the hardest step of faith that you'll ever have to take in your life is the next one. You got to keep taking steps of faith. One of the hardest steps of faith you'll ever take as a non-believer is to trust Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. And then once you're a believer, then God will take you down a journey and it's the next step and the next step. And then it will be how you become generous with your money. And then it will be how you forgive somebody that's wronged you. And then it will be how you use your career as an opportunity to serve the Lord. And then it will be how are you good in your single life? Or how are you good as a spouse? Or how are you good with your kids? Or how are you good with your parents? Or how do you use school as an opportunity to witness to the Lord? Or all these different things. And how do you continue to take that next step of faith? It means we should always be growing with Christ. That's what it means. Our love is growing, our faith is growing, and what does he say? Our purity should be growing. Now, we read the word as Americans and think, well, just don't be sexually immoral, and that's part of it. But just because you're not sexually immoral doesn't mean that you're pure. Pure means there's nothing in you, there's no distractions, your heart is pure before the Lord. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Like, is there anything in your heart that's bubbling to the surface of impurity that God wants to remove? Let him get that out of there so that your heart can be pure before the Lord and can be pure before other people. So there's no shame in your life. There's no guilt in your life. You know you've been completely washed and completely forgiven and you're living in that. And that's how you provide an example. Now, most of us want our spiritual leaders to provide an example. We just don't want to be the example for other people. So it's good if our pastor does it. It's good if our small group leader does it, but I don't really need to do it. I'm not really there yet. No, God wants you to be that. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus' command of discipleship is follow me, become like me, do what I do. When I command you to do something, go do it. What does Paul then say? He says, follow me as I follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. And then in Philippians 4 and verse 9, I'm paraphrasing, he says, what you have seen in me, what you have heard from me, what you have watched in me, what you have listened to from me, put this into practice and the peace of God will be with you. What were the disciples of Jesus saying? Follow Christ, and here's how you're going to grow. If you follow me and the way you see me going after Christ, I promise you, you'll grow. That's an example. An example means if you walk the way I'm walking and you talk the way I'm talking and you go the way I'm going, you will grow in Christ. And who does God want to act like that? Every single person that's called on his name. That's the message. It's a job description for the prophet that you would not only preach and teach with authority, but you provide an example, that there be integrity in your life. We can look throughout the Bible. There's all sorts of great examples of men with integrity. Noah faithfully proclaimed the Bible, God's word, for 120 years. Daniel faithfully stood up in Babylon and proclaimed the word and prayed out loud. Job was faithful through all of his trials. Joseph was faithful in his purity, even when tempted with sexual immorality. Do you have integrity in your life? See, the world is looking for people that not only preach with authority so they can hear it, but they're looking for people that can provide an example so that they can believe them. They're seeing somebody that's actually walking this out. Okay, it's believable. Fill in the blank for me. You know this. We've done this before. People that will say, you know, I don't want to be a Christian. Christians are just a bunch of... You heard that, huh? Because there's not enough examples of people walking it out. It doesn't mean we're perfect because none of us are perfect. We'll all admit to that. But what does it mean? It means when I do something wrong to the extent that it's been seen, I confess and forsake it. It means I'm walking away from it. It means if I hurt your feelings, I'm telling you that I'm sorry. Means if I need to ask forgiveness, I'm asking forgiveness. I'm being a testimony to what God is doing in my heart so people see living examples of what it means to actually believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? And he wants all of us to walk our talk and be an example. Not only so people hear, but so that people can believe. And then 30 gives us this. He says, prioritize the word and the spirit. Prioritize the word and the spirit. Now, if you've been listening to these messages, I talked about priority being one thing the other day. You said, well, Pastor Jeff, you said it was one thing. You said prioritize your family when it comes to doing that. Now you're talking about prioritize, but you're using two things. No, I'm not. The word and the spirit are interlinked. They are interwoven. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, penned the word. Men were moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The word of God was written by the Holy Spirit. Even while he chose men to be agents of his written word, the Holy Spirit wrote the word. The written word reveals the living word, Jesus Christ. When the living word is proclaimed and Jesus Christ is exalted and glorified, the Holy Spirit also uses that to bring conviction to your heart and show you what steps to take. It's the word and the spirit in conjunction. Now, why are both equally important? Some churches don't prioritize either. Some churches don't ever open a Bible. I mean, what do you do if you go to a church that doesn't open the Bible? You leave. It's just easy. But some churches don't open the Bible, and some churches don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in both. I believe in both equally. But what happens a lot of times, especially in our culture, some churches tend to swing the pendulum one way or another. And some churches are really strong word churches, and they open the Bible, and they proclaim the word, and they're faithful in the word, and God bless them that they are. But anything that involves the Spirit of God doing something supernatural, they're kind of scared of. They're a little unsure about. And they tend to say, well, we're about the word and the spirit's in us, which is true. It's true. But we don't want to see all that crazy stuff. And their version of the spirit is people swinging from the chandeliers and acting crazy. We want none of that. And I don't want any of that. But there's other churches where you sense the Spirit of God's at work and they believe the word and they know the Spirit of God's true. And you sense that God is with us when things are being talked about, but they're not anchored enough to the word. And they say, yeah, when people are into the word, they have to think too much and it squelches the spirit. No, no, no. The word of God and the Spirit of God work in tandem together. And oftentimes, Word of God churches like ours are afraid of Spirit of God churches. And so instead of shepherding what may not be right, they tend to want to shut it down. I don't want to shut anything down that the Spirit of God wants to do. Do you want to shut anything down that the Spirit of God wants to do? I don't. I want the fullness of everything that the Spirit has. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, all throughout that chapter, he says to pursue spiritual gifts, eagerly desiring that you may prophesy. And at the end, he says you should be encouraged to want to see prophecy in your church and don't forbid the speaking of tongues. He just tells us everything's got to be done in order. Because if it's not done in order and it's craziness in the church, people will say they're out of their mind. You've been to some of those meetings? I've been in some of those meetings where I'm looking around and supposedly the Spirit's doing something, but it's not representative of who I see Jesus being in the Bible, and it's wrong and it's out of order and it's not in place. And even though these people would say, oh, but I was so moved, it's not right. But then there's other places where the Spirit of God doesn't move to the full because we don't let him. We talk about that he can. He might heal people today. He might be able to allow people to worship. He might be able to allow people to speak in tongues. He might have prophecy, but I'm not so sure. So I'm just going to hunker down in the word. I think both are wrong. How about the fullness of the word and the fullness of the spirit? And we let God's word be the judge on what's happening in the church. Amen. This is what Paul was telling Timothy. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are of equal importance. Notice what he says. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Well, what's the public reading of Scripture? It means that you'll open your Bible in the church and read it and explain it. It means that the thoughts coming from the preacher, the prophet, whoever is standing forward, the thoughts need to be the thoughts that are coming from this book, not their own thoughts. Not, I spent time with the Lord this week and I was really moved, and so I wanted to tell you about this. And by the way, there's one or two scriptures that will support this. No, no, no. This is what God wants to say, and I'm proclaiming him to you. So make sure you read the word. Don't be embarrassed by the word. The word of God is what brings life to God's people. Like, how do you know Jesus died on the cross? The word of God tells us. How do you know he rose from the dead? The word of God tells us. How do you know that the Holy Spirit was active in the early church? Because the word of God tells us. How would you know anything if the word of God didn't tell us anything? It would be our guess. We'd be speculating. So read the word of God. And then to do what? Give exhortation and teaching. Well, what's that mean? What's exhortation? Exhortation is simply this. It can take the form of a warning or rebuke, encouragement, an admonition, a challenge, counsel, comfort, some sort of application that helps you take the next step in your faith journey if you're willing to hear. That's what exhortation is. And teaching means you're going to systematically teach through the whole counsel of God. It means there's no part in this book that we would say, well, I can't teach that part. People won't like that part. Now, any and all are wide open to whatever God wants to say at any time. And through that, his Holy Spirit will bring a word individually. That's why you can hear this word and you can hear the message today. And he's doing something over there in that man's life right there. And he's doing something in this gal's life right here. And he's doing something over in that boy's life back up there. And it's all different because it's the word of God and the Spirit of God doing a work. Amen? So where should you go? You should go to a place that heralds the word of God. Where the word of God is taught, where the word of God is exhorted, where it's not just, hey, this is what the Bible says, this is what you should do with what the Bible says. Like, as a result of hearing this, what are you gonna do now? Because if you don't do anything with what you hear, it's as if you didn't hear it at all. God's not up here just to hear you say, oh, I heard you today, God. What are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? Nobody can make you do anything about it. God loves you enough that he'll even allow you to make your own decision about what you want to do. But what should be happening in the church is that the word of God is faithfully proclaimed. And why is that important? Because when the word of God's faithfully proclaimed, you can grow. The word of God is food. If you don't eat, you can't grow. If you don't have the word, you can't grow. It's impossible to grow. God has us preach with authority so people can hear, provide an example so they can believe, prioritize the word so that you can grow. But not only the word of God, also the spirit of God. Because what does he say in verse 14? Do not neglect the spiritual gift. Within who? You. Friends, at the time that you gave your life to Christ, if you've repented and trusted in Jesus, at the moment that you did, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you forever. And Romans 8 verse 9 says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are not of Christ. You say, well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit came into me. If you repented and trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He's there. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says he baptizes you into the family of God, which means you've been brought into his family. But Ephesians 5 and verse 18 tells us that we need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means this. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. When you accept the Holy Spirit, all of the third person of the Trinity comes to live in you. Not part of him, all of him. So if you're a Christian, you have all the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem. For many Christians, the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of them. You have all of him. Does he have all of you? See, at the moment that you're saved, you are delivered from the penalty of sin. You never, ever have to worry about it. But God takes us on this journey of sanctification, and he helps us, he allows us to partner with the Spirit so that we can be delivered from the power of sin. Which means what God wants to do in your life is to give you power over the sin that you once had. We sang a song earlier in our service called Egypt. And I think about the story of Egypt. God got the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took them a little while to get Egypt out of the Israelites, didn't it? When God saves you, God immediately takes you out of the place that you once were, out of the kingdom of darkness, and delivers you into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. You're his. But then God spends the rest of your life wanting you to partner in a journey with him so that he can get all the junk out of you that was in you before you got saved. Right? God is trying to cleanse you and purify you, which means once you're saved, you're not done. That's just the beginning. God wants to grow you in a process. And every day he wants you to wake up and say, Lord, I'm yours today. I'll walk in your spirit today. I'll do what you want. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be who you want me to be. And as you begin to partner with the Spirit doing that, God grows you and sanctifies you so that as you look over your shoulder days, weeks, months, or years later, you will realize I'm not the same person I was when I first got saved. God's been doing a work in my life. And guess when that work ends? When you meet Jesus face to face. And until that time, God's wanting to grow you. And another thing God did in your life, not only did he save you and make a deposit of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but he gifted you with service to his church. Every single one of you is gifted. Did you know that? Most of us don't believe that we are. Most of us have been lied to for so long, we feel like we're worthless, we're lousy, we're no good, we have nothing to offer God. I'm not a pastor, I'm not a worship leader, like who am I? I don't have anything. No. You are special. You are chosen. You belong to him. You are set apart for service, and God gifted you in a unique way for you to serve him.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub in the second segment of a three-part message titled A Prophetic Calling. We'll reach the conclusion of this lesson next Monday, so plan to join us again. In the meantime, feel free to catch up on previous programs you might have missed from our series, The Kingdom Embassy, by visiting bravemedia.online. You'll find all of Pastor Jeff's past sermons there and many other faith-building resources and opportunities from the Brave Ministry. While you're online, connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for Brave Church Denver. Be sure to like and follow our pages for relevant posts of Bible verses, spiritual encouragement, and important updates on all things Brave. And then, before we close today's program, we'd like to take a moment to invite you to be part of our weekend services in person here at Brave Church. If you're listening from anywhere in the Denver metro area, join us at our campus in Englewood or check out our new venue, now open in Westminster. And no matter where you live, you can still spend Sunday mornings with us through our live stream. To learn more, go to bravemedia.online and scroll to the bottom of our homepage and click the button that says Brave Church for all the details. If you have any other questions about our ministry or thoughts about today's message, we always love hearing from you, and you can reach out anytime by email. hello@bravechurch.co. That brings us to the end of our program. So glad you've joined us. I'm your host, Bill Carl, wishing you a wonderful weekend and inviting you back for the third and final part of today's message, A Prophetic Calling. That's Monday, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.